This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the history of rock and roll from a vinyl point of view. In a world where B-sides and album cuts predominate, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, involving everything from the blues of the 30s to today's newest releases. We've been tasked with a massive responsibility, the origins of the music we love. So let's get started. Welcome back to the Ohio Homegrown series, as we continue with the Baskerville Hounds timeline. 1969 brought a new single, a new label, and another lineup. Although this one is more reminiscent of the original band now that everybody's military commitment had been fulfilled. The new label, AFCO Embassy. The song, Hold Me. Nationally a top 100 record for 2 weeks in October of that year. The B-side was a recycled Here I Come Miami.
The 1969 recording of Hold Me consisted of myself, Doug McCutcheon, Bill Emmerich, Dante Rossi, and Mike Makron. It was a hit up and down the East Coast, and it was number one in Erie, PA for like about 2 months. We had a good following in Erie, PA.
In 1972, the band ventured back to Miami and Criteria Studios to record what should have been their second LP. The lineup changed yet again, adding a new bassist and drummer. Exactly what happened that caused the LP to not be released, none of the Hounds can say for sure. Here's founding Hound keyboardist Doug McCutcheon.
In the fall of 72, I got a phone call from Larry, and he told me that Jimmy Testa wanted us to meet him to talk about recording some songs. We met up at Perkins Pancake House with me, Larry, Dante Rossi, Bob Dillinger, and Sweet Leaf on drums, and Roland Solomon from Fully Assembled on bass. This was the group that Testa wanted to record with and wanted to know if we had any originals. Of course, we said we did, but then we went home and wrote them really quick. When we went down to Florida to record, privileged to work with Ron and Howie Albert, who were two engineers that had produced Eric Clapton's album, Layla. We came back full of excitement, feeling that maybe this was something that would make some noise. However, for reasons unclear to us, the investors decided to drop the project and take the expenditures so far as a tax write-off. Probably was a good business decision from their side, but most businessmen are only concerned with the bottom line, not music. I have never regretted making this album. Why it was never released, we don't really know for sure, except for the fact that you cannot get airplay unless you have a label. That's basically the story about the Florida recordings, other than the fact that it's still very good music.
And it was unfortunate that the record wasn't released. Writing, production, and recording were all first rate. It may have, as Doug put it, made some noise in the industry. Thanks to the aforementioned Personal Hounds archives, you'll be able to hear what could have been a big deal. Here's Larry and Doug taking turns introducing their favorite cuts.
Lack of Love, we recorded in Miami. I wrote the song, and I had in mind sort of a surreal sort of...
Bad Day is one of my favorite cuts that we did at that session. It was written by Larry, and I was listening to a lot of Bach at the time. So in a conspiracy with Larry and Roland Solomon, we come up with a beautiful fugue at the end that to this day just sounds so awesome to me. But the song itself is what really makes it. I mean, the lyrics are out of this world. You take comfort in the fact that you are not the only one that has ever felt that way. And they say misery loves company. This song is proof. It's one of the best songs that probably ever came out of Cleveland.
It's been a bad day. So what you say? Who can change it? Trample your
Shotgun Blues is a fun song for me to play. Doug wrote that. I just think that putting the piano in there along with the guitar solos and that just made the song. Again, song of the times. I still think it could be put in the front of a Western and a guy chasing you with a shotgun.
Doug relates the meaning behind the song, Straightjacket.
When I wrote the song, it was kind of like a free-form type of thing that really didn't mean anything. It was just basically like Procol Harum. The sounds of the words is what you would focus on. After we finished the last verse, it became pretty clear that it was actually going to be about somebody that was locked up in a mental institution. However, some have interpreted the lyrics as meaning that the person is a captive of their own mind and can't break free to do anything new or try anything new. The interpretation is up to you, but the song pretty much speaks for itself. Thanks to the guys for a great performance on this tune.
When your nightmare has no way to be, just a daydream filled with me. Then you see we'll be right back.
The band was optimistic after returning to Cleveland from Miami, but as Doug explained, because of the lack of a label and airplay, the new album they were deservedly proud of stayed unreleased. It was just another disappointment, but this one caused the Hounds to call it quits. It was 1973. They had a good run, but you couldn't keep them from doing what they love. In 1980, the Hounds reformed. Here's Larry.
Band got back together in 1980 and started playing all over. It got very tight. We were playing in the flats at the time, which was really happening. We were at the Pirates Cove every Wednesday night, packed the house. As we played our songs, two of the songs stuck out a lot. Route 66, we played the heck out of that, and Hold Me. At that time, we decided, why not go back and record those two over again.
The Bow Records single of that same year was released, recorded at After Dark Studios in Cleveland. Kirk Yano, engineering. But now, Bill Emery was back on bass. The Hounds were featured on the M105 Ohio Homegrown series, live at the Pirates Cove. Here's the two cuts from that single, recorded live at that venue.
Honey,
even more music you'll hear nowhere else, here on the Vinyl Garage. The next time the boys ventured into the studio was 1997. In the meantime, forming individual projects and playing out often. It's ironic that it took a copy of their Christmas single that was on display at the newly opened Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on a local music display to get the Hounds back together. Traveling downtown to the hall, thanks to Larry's free tickets, gave the songwriting juices a subtle nudge, putting the Hounds back in the studio. In 1999, their CD Look at Us Now was released, featuring all new material, save for one cover and a re-recording of the Hurting Kind single. Larry and Doug once again introduced their favorites.
In the making of Sweet September, there was a sound that Doug had on his keyboards, on his Prophet 5, that brought out a jet. I always liked the sound of that jet coming in at the beginning. We could never duplicate that in the recording studio. A lot of people thought it sounded a lot like Ted Nugent meeting Deep Purple. Sweet September.
The hurt is deep inside, babe. I'm more than love could ever hide.
Yeah, well, Larry wanted to reprise three of our songs, Hurt and Kind, Mine Forever, and Space Rock. With Hurt and Kind, we took a little different approach. We rocked it up a little bit. People have asked me about the song. I said, oh, did you write that based on the Beatles? Where's the Hurt and Kind and She Loves You? I says, I did. I says, but they said she wasn't the Hurt and Kind. I'm saying she was. And so we took it in the opposite direction. Now, the thing is the differences between the original. The original was a little slinkier, and the harmonica part I played in there was more inspired by Stevie Wonder. On the newer version, the harmonica part I played was more inspired by, like, the blues greats and, like, the type of stuff that Mick Jagger would play. We rocked up the guitars a little bit more, probably hitting the instruments a lot harder, which gave it more of a drive. I have had a lot of blowback on this saying, you guys should have never changed the original version. I says, hey, we all got to grow up sometime. As this is us grown up, we're not babies anymore. We're not taking orders from managers and producers. We produced it ourselves, and we're pleased with the results.
You're the hurting kind. Always messing around, out through the town with some other guy. All I do while you're out having fun is sit and cry. I feel so bad, cause you're making me sad. I have to leave, cause you're that hurting kind.
Was kind of inspired by Elton John. I always liked his piano playing, the way his chords moved, the way he voiced his chords, and I wanted to write something like that. However, it turned out a little more Americana-type song. I decided to do the riff on an accordion sound, and also we used some background singers on the song. I drove the band nuts working on the song because it originally started with two choruses. On the bridges, I decided, after we'd learned the song and practiced it for a week, that I was going to reverse, on the second bridge, the lead and background vocal parts. It came out really great, and the way they actually made it sound, exactly like I heard it in my head. They were very good at interpreting what I had to say, which a lot of times is not very clear. I could tell them to play something green, and they would know what I was talking about. And this song they did. They played it very green.
Else to do. I played my guitar and I wrote myself a tune. Imagine my surprise when I was through, that the words I had written were all about you. I never thought I'd write a love song, but here it is. Never thought I'd have that much of myself I could give. You'll be a part of me as long as I live. I never thought I'd write a love song, but here it is. I closed the door and locked myself away. The world would always look so dark and gray. You made the colors dance before my eyes. You put the music back in my life. I never thought I'd write a love song. Here it is. Never thought I'd find a part of myself I could give. You'll be a part of me as long as I live. I never thought I'd write a love song, but here it is.
And it's all about you.
It's all about the way you are.
Looking at you.
'Cause you're shining like an evening star.
It's all about you.
Yeah, it's all about you.
Dante Rossi and I had a country band for 8 years called the Rag and the Rose Band. We did an original of mine called It's a Good Thing, and when we did this album, we decided that it would be a perfect song for the Hounds to do. What it was inspired by was a Twilight Zone episode called It's a Good Life, which starred Billy Mummy. He was a little kid that could do everything mentally, and people would always have to tell him it's a very good thing he did it, otherwise they would face his wrath. I heard the line, It's a Good Thing, and I said, I have to write a song like that. It's a good thing, it's a very good thing.
Thank you.
last song, Look at Me Now, Doug wrote, was an excellent time for me to play my icon's guitar solo, Duane Eddy. The whole song sums up a lot of what was going on earlier in the band's life, and it ends with a good rocking ending from the album Look at Us Now. Here is Look at Me Now.
And the one from the album that I'm exceptionally fond of, a Larry composition, Stick Around You.
I just thought I'd take time out to rhyme out and say I love you. You're the kind of a girl, sweet features and curls, and I just can't stop thinking of you, oh no. Yeah, I knew from the start that you'd steal my heart and maybe use me. But everything's okay, I'm happy every day, and you never ever lose me, oh no. Sad and lonely, and you see a need to share. Just call on the one and only, and I'll always.
closing out the show with a live recording of the Hounds at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in September of 2000. Once again, thanks to the band's archives.
Please welcome Cleveland's own Baskerville Hound.
Good to be back home in Cleveland.
Wrap up with the Hounds, I want to point out something, that is, if you haven't already noticed. The story of this band is really no different than any number of local groups who, due to a big regional single and the subsequent interest from a national label, rose to some prominence. But the takeaway here is, how does an otherwise solid band, just tasting some popularity on a national scale, respond to others telling them what and how to record, while at the same time preserving their identity as an individual in a group sense? The musical version of looking at yourself in the mirror, but in this case, hearing yourself on record and liking what you hear. As a generality, it's the original compositions that truly showcase the Hounds, and specifically the later recordings where they were in charge. You should use the title of their 1999 album to measure your opinion of the Baskerville Hounds. Look at us now. Many thanks to Larry Meese, Bill Emery, and Doug McCutcheon for their help and patience in the making of these shows. No Hounds were harmed in its production.
I want to introduce the band to you real quick. Back on drums is Mr. Bobby Dillinger. On bass guitar, Mr. Bill Emery. On keyboards, Mr. Douglas McCutcheon. Lead guitar, Mr. Larry Meese. And I'm Dante Rossi, and we are the Baskerville Hounds.
There you have it, a perfectly good hour of your life listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, undying allegiance, or complete disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook/Vinyl Garage Show. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening. I'm going to go to the next one.